43 minutes after 10 p.m. This is Black Man Meditations. You're tuned to WSCA 106.1. This is Bombs of Hades, Darkness My Soul. And before that was the Colombian band King, Kill the Posers Like Fracking Christians. Two of my favorite songs released here in 2012. My email address, bnmradio@live.com. Send me an email, let me know what your favorite and least favorite tracks, albums released in 2012 are. And this week and last week, and I'll do it again next week, you've been hearing nothing but my favorites released this year. A lot of good stuff and some disappointing stuff as well. Something that's very, very disappointing for me is the fact that I did not get to go on the barge to hell, and I'm really bummed about that. But B&M's floating metal reporter, Matt Bauer, did go on the barge to hell, just like he goes in the 70,000 tons of metal cruise, just like he goes to the Wacken Festival in Germany. Matt, you suck really bad for going to all these great things that I never get to go to. How's it going?
It's going well.
So the barge to hell, you've survived yet another heavy metal cruise. And you've made it through how many Wacken? How many times have you gone over to Germany for the Wacken Festival, Matt?
I've done Wacken four times.
Four times. God. So you suck four times over for that. And you've done the 70,000 tons. What, you've done that once or twice?
I did 70,000 tons twice and then the barge to hell. So the barge to hell is the third metal cruise I've done.
So why don't you explain the barge to hell for those in the metal community who are not familiar with what barge to hell is. Many of us are, but for those who are not, explain barge to hell.
Sure. Yeah, the barge to hell, it's sort of, its moniker is the most extreme metal cruise. And it's similar to the 70,000 tons of metal, which just briefly is essentially you take about 40, 42 metal bands, throw them on a cruise ship, about 2,000 fans, and then you know, basically it's a week-long journey. There's a destination that it changes every year. You leave out of Miami, Florida, leave port on Monday. You're seen Monday night all day. Tuesday night, you'll arrive at your destination port on Wednesday. 1 year it was Cozumel, 1 year it was the Cayman Islands. This year for the barge to hell, it was Nassau in the Bahamas. And then, so you kind of had a day off the boat on that Wednesday in the middle of the week to just kind of, you know, enjoy yourself. Or there's different excursions and packages, things you can sign up for, snorkeling or, you know, hang out at the beach, any number of things you can do. And then you're back on the boat. Music again Wednesday night, and then all day you're at sea all day Thursday night, and you arrive back in Miami on Friday, and you have to depart pretty early in the morning. And the thing is, pretty much when you're at sea, that's when the music's going. So you have music going all night Monday, all day Tuesday night, Wednesday night, all day Thursday night. And there are three stages. You have a stage on the pool deck, which is just amazing. And you have two indoor stages. One is the Chorus Line Theater, which is about a two-story theater. And, it's got seats. It's even got sort of like a balcony section with seats up above. Plenty of room, you know, to sit or stand. There's they take out some of the seats down front. So there's a large floor area for standing and moshing and pitting and different things in front of the stage. And then there's a smaller sort of club stage called the Spectrum Lounge, which is a similar setup, seats, but also a floor area, and just much smaller scale, so more of an intimate setting. The band is pretty much, if you're on the barricade, they're literally right there in front of you. So
now that you've done the metal cruise thing for the third time, before you even started on the barge to hell for this third metal cruise, I mean, at any point did it start to seem kind of like old hat to you, like, okay, I've done this already before, it's kind of got this niche thing that, you know, it's a metal cruise? I mean, has that even worked its way into you yet, or do you just feel that it, because it's barge to hell, because it focuses on Black Death and Thrash, it's enough of a difference from 70,000 tons of metal that it's not going to be the same old thing yet again the third time around?
Right. Yeah, I would say as far as that goes, the only thing that might feel like that is because both 70,000 tons of metal cruises and also this barge to hell, which is all run by the same company, they use the same cruise ship. It's out of the Royal Caribbean Cruises, and it's the same ship. So I would say, you know, kind of once you've been on the ship and you've had a chance to explore it and check out where everything is, you pretty much, you know, you've seen the ship, you know where everything is. And that might get old hat, although even though there's still a lot to do. I mean, they have a rock climbing wall, they have a basketball court area. They've got a casino on board. So there's still a lot of things to do, but, you know, the ship is only so big. And so once you've kind of seen it, it's like, okay. But on the other hand, I mean, you've got so many amazing bands. And, I mean, the other part of it is just, I mean, so many amazing people on the ship. I know on Barge to Hell, there were 44 countries represented, you know, people hailing from all over the place, you know, coming to check this out and you know, see what it's all about. So, and also the thing with Barge to Hell, which I don't think I mentioned, is it's similar to 70,000 tons of metal, except it's sort of more of a niche cruise, which I think you touched on, where it was mainly consisted of black metal, death metal, thrash metal bands, maybe a few doom metal bands, but, you know, it stayed away from the power metal, the traditional, the folk metal, where 70,000 tons is pretty much all genres of metal represented, much more variety. So, and one of the major differences with Barge to Hell and 70,000 tons of metal is Barge to Hell was about 1,200 people or so, whereas the 70,000 tons of metal cruises were, I think, closer to 2,000. So there was a lot less people, and there's good and bad on that. Good because in terms of anything you had to wait in line for was just so, you know, severely reduced. I mean, the merch line, I remember for the second 70,000 tons of metal cruise, I mean, close to 2 to 3 hours that you had to wait in line just to, you know, get up and hopefully get your hands on the merch that you wanted. The merch line for Barge to Hell, much shorter, I think even less than an hour. And that was when they first opened. And I went back, you know, a day or two later after merch had already been opened, you know, from the first day. And you literally just walk right up and, you know, ask for what you want. So it was nice not having to wait in lines. You know, it's not as crowded. But one of the downsides, you know, the crowds may not be as energetic. You know, they're not as big. I know some bands, you know, only, I heard were only playing to like maybe 15 people for a crowd. So there's good and bad. But overall, I think I preferred it because, like I said, it's kind of more convenient and it's much nicer just to not have to wait in line and miss everything else that's going on. So.
Well, since you touch on merch, for merch, before we get into the bands that you saw, and there were tons of them, of course, with the merch, did you find that selection, prices, things of that nature were any different because it was the Barge to Hell? Or were the prices higher or were they the same? Was there special merch that some of the bands had for the Barge to Hell? Was it typical kind of selection you would see at any other concert?
Yeah, as far as merch goes, I would say prices are pretty typical. Maybe a little bit lower. I think shirts range, I'd say probably $25 to $35 dollar range, and hoodies and things, I think, you know, probably closer to, you know, $40 or something like that. As far as different merch or unique merch opportunities, each year I believe there are bands that will make shirts that are sort of cruise specific. You know, they'll have the dates of the cruise and it'll be kind of a special design or logo or something that you can only get if you're on that cruise. And this year, some of the bands that did that, one of the real popular ones was Enslaved. And I was lucky enough, I was able to get a shirt, basically a black t-shirt with a white design. The design was a Viking ship with sort of cartoon caricatures of the band members, you know, kind of riding on the ship, and had the dates. For Barge to Hell. I know Possessed had one that was specific. Soilwork, I believe, was another one that had a specific one. I know on the first 70,000 tons of metal, Exodus had one, which the front was a design of piranhas. It said piranha, and then on the back it said Booze Cruise, and it had the dates. So some bands will always have some unique special merch on hand.
Well, let's talk about the bands that you did see. And I've got a list here that's quite impressive. Again, these are all the reasons that you suck really bad. Artillery, At the Gates, Behemoth, Bonded by Blood, Bruharia, Corrosion of Conformity, oddly enough. I wasn't expecting them. Enslaved, Exodus, Grave, Havoc, Holy Moses, Campfire. Oh, I would love to have seen them. Loud Blast, Mayhem, Monstrosity, Moonspell, Morgoth, Municipal Waste, Noctemystium, Napalm Death, Necronomicon from Germany, November's Doom, awesome. Paradise Lost, Possessed, Rotting Christ, Sacred Reich, Sanctuary, Sodom, Solstafir. I mean, geez, man, what an amazing lineup of bands. Would you say that now experience and legend aside and all of that, you know, not talking about the bands, but just the whole ordeal of Vakken and then 70,000 tons and Barge to Hell just on the lineups. Do you feel that something like Barge to Hell was more satisfying because it was a little more targeted with the Black Death and Thrash? Did it feel more satisfying as opposed to not being all over the place like Avakin is?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I would tend to agree. I would say, for me personally, of kind of the different lineups and the different festivals, I would say probably the most special, if you're talking overall lineup, I would say it is Barge to Hell, because one of the reasons I went on it was, for me, a lot of the bands that were booked on this were either bands I wasn't familiar with, had never seen before, probably wouldn't get a chance to see again. I mean, for Holy Moses has been around since the 80s. You know, they're celebrating their 30th anniversary, and, you know, they hardly ever play the States. I've never seen them. And I'm a huge thrash fanatic. And so the fact that they were on, I was, oh, that's great. I finally get to see them. Sacred Reich, another rare thrash band I've been waiting years to see. Caught both of their sets, loved them. As far as in terms of the bands that were booked for this, I thought there were, you know, some pretty unique selections and just a lot of chances. Like I said, either see bands I may not have the chance to ever see again, and also, you know, discover some new bands. For instance, you know, Artillery, and I don't know. I mean, I never really heard them, and for whatever reason, I was just sort of under the assumption that they were sort of like death thrash. And when I checked them out, I mean, the vocals are like complete opposite. You know, sort of that kind of, you know, clean soaring, almost, you know, like kind of air raid sign. Not necessarily Bruce Dickinson, but it wasn't. I was sort of expecting kind of the more extreme kind of death growl, and it was complete opposite. And from what I do know of the band, the vocalist, which I don't have his name, but he's a fairly new vocalist with the band. But I heard multiple people tell me, I mean, he just fits right in, you know, like a glove. And that was one of the things that really impressed me about their performance, was just the vocals. And another, Souls to Fear, I had heard of them, hadn't really heard, you know, anything by them, had never checked them out. And they were definitely a unique band. Even in terms of the lineup of the bands that were on the boat, they kind of, you know, stuck out more so, because they're sort of more of like a you know, post-rock, more mellow, not necessarily, you know, that extreme. They don't fit that moniker, but definitely fit in. Watched both of their sets, because after seeing them the first set, I was like, you know, I got to see them again. I'm pretty sure they're from Iceland, and you know, another rarity. So lineup wise, it was. And that's another thing too, is the 70,000 tons of metal. They've got the third one's in the process of being, the band's being announced. They're about 2/3 of the way done, I think, and that's already set for the end of this coming January. And sort of looking at what the lineup was starting to look like for that, and the lineup for Barge to Hell, to me, it was a no-brainer. Barge to Hell lineup was so much stronger. And so I went with that one.
I did want to ask you that, since you touched on it just a second ago, I did want to ask you about 10 bands you saw twice. And I wanted to know if there were any of these bands that you saw twice, because you saw them the first time and you were so impressed with them, you had to see them again.
Yeah, like I said, Souls to Fear was kind of like that. I guess they were more so just because of like a rarity. Same thing with Sacred Reich. Like I said, just never had the chance to see them. So I was like, okay, I have two chances to see them. It was the same deal on the last 70,000 tons of metal with Annihilator. But for instance, Rotting Christ, who I'd never seen but had been looking forward to after their set. I mean, that was one of my top sets. It was so fun. I was right on the barricade. They were in the Spectrum Lounge. They were right in front of me. I was just nonstop headbanging the whole way through, and I was like, I have to see them again. Like, they were just so good. I'm trying to think some of the other ones. Enslaved, which every time I've seen them, and I haven't seen them a ton of times, but every time I've seen them, they've just blown me away. And one of the really cool things that they did, which not a lot of bands did. I mean, a lot of bands mix up their set list because they're performing too, but Enslaved, I know for sure, it was two completely different sets.
That's so cool.
Both set lists, I mean, different songs. Both times, so that was great.
Well, that's good that Enslaved is one of those bands that did that, because they are kind of known for, ever since they changed their sound, I don't know how many albums ago, where they obviously went way further into the progressive sound. You know, they don't do too many of the older tunes, not much of music that they released back in the 90s. So they kind of get stuck in that, you know, performing so many songs off of Issa and Ruin and albums like that. And it's good to know that they're mixing up a bit, especially for Barge to Hell, because, I mean, these kinds of cruises, even with the Kiss cruise that happened just a couple of months ago, I mean, these people are the diehards. They're not just somebody going to pay $20, $25, you know, for a ticket to see a concert. They're the diehards. So I think, you know, bands especially like Enslaved, I think they really should, for the sake of the fans, dig a little deeper and play songs they haven't played in a long time, don't play anymore, never played at all. You know, if you guys are paying hundreds of dollars, you should. So for, you know, every time you come on and talk about whether it's Valken or 70,000 Tons of Metal, I have to ask you who the bands were that disappointed you or just flat out sucked. So for Barge to Hell, who did not make the grade?
All right. Well, the biggest disappointment for me, hands without question, was the fact that days before we left, Hypocrisy had to cancel for personal reasons.
Yeah,
which
that sucks.
They were probably the band I was looking forward to the most. So that was disappointing. But in terms of bands that I saw that that were disappointing, I would say Guerrilla. Again, like, I didn't know much about them. Figured I'd check them out. Now, it could be because they were one of the last bands on the last day at like 2:30 in the morning. They were in the Chorus Line Theater. I got there way early. I was there for their warm-up and setup. There was almost no one else there. So I was there for a long time before they even got started. But once they started up, it's sort of like a super group of sorts. You know, they got Jeff Walker from Carcass on bass and Shane Embry from Napalm Death. And, but I don't know, once they started playing the music, it just wasn't my thing. It seemed, I don't know, part of it might have been the sound. I mean, for the most part, sound production was very good. And it could have just been that it was, you know, the end of the day, the last day, and, you know, I was exhausted. So, but, you know, it seemed like it was extremely loud. It wasn't very audible, and it just wasn't my thing. So another disappointment for me was Mayhem. And I saw Mayhem at Valken in 2011. Because I feel like any time I have a chance to see, black metal band or a black metal show, I want to take it because they seem few and far between. Mayhem, you know, being sort of one of the legends in black metal. So I checked them out at Valken. Didn't really do much for me. I couldn't recognize a lot of the songs. And you know, they played in the middle of the day on one of the main stages in an open air setting. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe in a different setting, you know, that might be better. Now, the set I watched them on was the pool deck. It was nice.
Mayhem on a pool deck. Mayhem on a pool deck. I just can't say anything else about that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But I figured out what it is for me is that the reason that they were disappointing is I just don't like Attila as a vocalist. It's the way that he sings and he just kind of, you know, carries out these like guttural screams that just seem to go on and on. And I mean, the only songs I recognized were, obviously, Freezing Moon. I mean, that was easy to pick up right away. They announced, before they played it, Buried by Time and Dusk. A lot of the other stuff, it wasn't recognizable to me. I mean, I was up front. I was pretty close to the barricade for that one as well. And after having seen them a couple of times, because I figured I'll give them another shot. And it's just, the vocalist, Attila just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, and
I've seen some footage of them. When Maniac was in the band and heard some live recordings, and I think I prefer his vocals over Attila.
And they do songs off of more recent records as opposed to their so-called classic era. I'm sure a lot of fans probably aren't aware of many of the songs off of, say, Grand Declaration of War. It's obviously a bit different. You're listening to WSCA LP Portsmouth. This is Black Knight Meditations. I'm Mark, speaking with BNM's floating metal reporter Matt Bauer about the Barge to Hell cruise, which was not this past weekend, but the weekend before last, correct?
Right. It was December 3rd through the 7th.
You're getting into this cruise thing. I mean, I wonder that did you ever have, getting away from the Barge Hill specifically, did you ever have any desire to go on a cruise just as a regular guy? Did you ever have, was a cruise ever in your mind as far as that's what I want to do for vacation?
Well, it was sort of, but before I even went on any of these metal cruises, it just kind of, never really seriously planned one out, but just kind of always thought, oh yeah, you know, you hear about cruises, like, you know, that would be a fun vacation to do. And then having been on several of these now, I almost feel, and I talked to some other people that would feel the same way that I do. I almost feel, because actually me and my family were talking about maybe this summer or possibly next summer doing an Alaskan cruise, including like Vancouver and seeing Alaska. And actually, I think it would be longer than, like, the barge, these metal cruises are about, like I said, 4 or 5 days, which I think is about the right amount of time. And this one we're looking at was maybe like 10 days or more. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you know, if I don't have bands to see all the time while I'm on a cruise, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm going to walk around, I'll see the ship, and, you know, but then I feel like I'm just going to be extremely bored. I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, it's, so I almost feel like, having been on these metal cruises, I feel like a normal cruise, it might almost ruin it for you, because you're just so used to, you know, having bands to see or hanging out with people or, you know, running into band members or going, you know, going to signing sessions, getting some autographs, or, you know, it's, I feel like, you know, a normal cruise, which I haven't done yet. The only cruises I've done are these metal cruises, but I almost feel like I would just be sort of standing there like, well, what do I do? No bands are playing. Where do I go?
No, I think I could understand that. Yeah. Do you feel that, you know, considering you've been to Vakken several times, you've done these cruises several times, does having attend a metal cruise seem like less work than, say, going to Vakken? I mean, does one seem a little more, again, bands aside, more enjoyable than the other? Because it seems to me, and you and I have discussed this before when you've talked about Vakken on air, it just seems like so much work. Whereas something like a cruise, it seems like so, like anything but work. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I would say that's a great way to put it. And I've even said this. I found myself even just saying this, just talking to people, you know, about Vakken in general. That yeah, it's an amazing time. It, you know, it's great. It's a wonderful experience. I recommend any metalhead to at least do it once. You know, they kind of refer to it as the metal mecca. Although I do think, you know, it may be starting to outgrow itself, and I feel like Vakken, even in the short time that I've been going to it, I feel like it's definitely had some big changes that I'm not necessarily sure they're for the better, but I also found myself when I'm talking to people about it, or even just thinking about it, it's a good way to put it. It almost sort of is an ordeal to just, you know, you got to save up the money, you got to book the flights, the hotels, you got to plan, you know, how you're getting over there. And then, I mean, it is pretty easy. You know, if you fly into Hamburg Airport, there's a shuttle service that, I mean, Vakken organizers are great about getting you from the airport to the festival and back. But, you know, once you're over there, then, you know, you got this massive campsite, you got to figure out where you're going to set up your tent. And, you know, it's a whole lot more things, items you got to bring with you, like a tent, sleeping bag, all that kind of thing. Whereas a cruise, I feel like it takes the Vakken experience, or even just the European festival experience, and it condenses it, and it just makes it more convenient. I mean, you've got a cabin, you've got an actual bed, and almost no matter where your cabin is, the Majesty of the Seas, which is the ship, it's about 12 decks total. Almost no matter where your cabin is, I mean, you're just a short, you know, distance from, you know, the stages or the dining areas. If you need to run back there to, you know, drop off merch or, you know, grab a quick nap or whatever, it's right there. Another thing that they do on the cruises is right when you check in, sort of as you're registering, you get what's called your Sea Pass card. That acts as not only your room key, but if you set up, you basically attach an account to that, and that's essentially what you use to make any purchases on board, which would include merch or you know, any sort of drinks. And it's just so convenient. You don't have to walk around with cash in your pocket. You just have the card. You know, you give it to, you know, a waiter. And in terms of the cruise staff, I mean, you could be in the middle of a mosh pit on the pool deck, you know, banging your head, and you have these waiters just walk right up to you, and, like, you know, do you need a refill? Do you need a drink? Like, you know, offering you anything, you just give them your card, they go to the bar, bring it right back to you. It really is just much, much more convenient than, say, a European festival.
All right, so let's talk about the bands on the cruise. And were the band's cabins mixed in with the other people's cabins, or were they off to one portion of the ship kept separate?
Yeah, from what I understand, and from my past experience on the other cruises, they're just mixed in with everybody. Like, one of the things they say about the cruise is, you know, it's like having a backstage pass. And one of the things that sort of the, you know, the head guy, the main guy behind it, Andy Piller, I saw him in an interview saying one of the things that makes STEM unique is there's no VIP treatment, there's no VIP program or anything like that. You know, the bands are essentially, you know, fans, just like, you know, the fans. And really, they act like it, too. I mean, you could be watching a band, and you'll turn to the side, you'll just see other band members, and, you know, enjoying the same band that you're watching. Even in terms of the boarding process, I mean, bands are right there with, you know, you arrive at the pier, you get out of your cab or your bus or whatever, and they're, oh, hey, you know, it's the guys from, you know, Napalm Death. You know, they're just right there. They're waiting in line right next to you. You all go through the same, you know, check-in register process. So pretty much when you get to the pier, or from what I even heard too, if you get there a day or two early down in Miami, I heard on Saturday there was a meet for a bunch of people from the forums that got there early, and Holy Moses showed up. So, you know, the bands are right there with the fans the whole time. You know, you run into them constantly. You can eat with them. You know, they're, from what I understand, most of them are pretty cool. You say, oh, you know, mind if I get a photo, autograph? And I mean, they have official signing sessions, but, you know, they could be chilling with you in the hot tub. You know, it's just everybody's there for the same reason. I've heard so many people say everyone is just a family, and, you know, you're just all there, you know, for to party and metal. And it really is. There's really not much separatism at all between bands and fans. That's one of the other cool things about it.
Well, I remember you were telling me about one of the 70,000 Tons cruises, is that because of that interaction between fans and the band members, and that everybody's pretty much all on the same boat together, you know, pun intended, of course, is that you learned that Kai Hansen really likes tacos. Well, for the barge to hell, I mean, did you find out that the Mayhem guys really like to get a tan, or, you know, anything? Do you have any sort of any personal stories that you picked up on the barge to hell?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any. I don't have too many personally. I actually, apart from seeing bands on stage and things like that, personally, I didn't run into too many myself. But I did hear that Attila likes his pina coladas. And
getting, you know, caught in the rain.
I'm sorry.
And getting caught in the rain. Oh, okay, never mind.
But yeah, it was funny. That was one thing I was sort of kind of questioning. I was like, oh yeah, like I figured I would run into more bands. Another thing too, which I'm sure I mentioned on the other 70,000 tons of metal cruises, and was another mainstay on the Barge to Hell, is in the wee hours of the morning, the Bolero's Lounge opens up karaoke. And again, it's fans and bands that are doing that. The few times that I stopped by to check out karaoke, I didn't see any band members on the Barge to Hell. I saw some more band participation on the other cruises, but I did hear from others that bands definitely stopped by there and did some things. Tom Hunting, I guess, you know, drummer from Exodus. Yeah. Did the first 70,000 tons of metal. I was the first time I was walking through the karaoke lounge, he was doing Motown. And awesome. That's the really cool thing, is when you have metal bands and they're singing, you know, non-metal music. I heard that Landfill from Municipal Waste sang a bunch of Kiss covers in a falsetto awesome. Voice and some different things like that. So,
I apparently there's something regarding moshing at this Barge to Hell that you and I need to talk about. What's the story behind this? Tell me about this.
Yeah, so I told you about, as walking in the Hamburg airport lobby, the last wall of death, where, you know, the remaining walking, you know, travelers, after the festival was over and spending the night at the hotel, I mean at the airport before flying back the next morning, started a tradition of doing the wall of death in the lobby. And I feel like sort of the next chapter of that that was born on the Barge to Hell. I wasn't there for the initial, but I did participate in the subsequent ones. But it was essentially wheeled chair moshing pits. And it's not wheelchairs as in, you know, like what you normally know as a wheelchair, but in the Spectrum Lounge, as I mentioned, there were chairs. There's a, you know, a chair area behind the floor area right in front of the stage. And these chairs have wheels on them, similar to a computer chair. But they're comfortable chairs. They have cushions, full back. And during Municipal Waste, when they did their set in that Spectrum Lounge, a bunch of people decided to take their chairs on the floor area and start moshing in the chairs, you know,
that's awesome.
on wheels. And not only did you do that, but and we did this, and the ones I participated in were for Bonded by Blood and for Havoc. And we did the chair wall of death. We did circle chair pits, and just, you know, just complete chaos and chairs on the floor to thrash. it just worked so well.
I like how over the years mosh pits have evolved, you know, to go to your obvious typical pits that originated in the 80s with a punk scene and then thrash, and somewhere along the line you've got the anti-mosh pit where you've got, like, what Skinless does at their shows, they have the crowds do the zombie mosh where it's like you're moving at the slowest possible speed with your arms and fingers out like you're a zombie, and now you're getting chairs on the floor and you're chair moshing. I mean, it's like just, it's so stupid and ridiculous, it's awesome, you know?
Exactly. And for anyone that wants to check it out, it's on YouTube, it's on Metal Injection, there's video footage.
Yeah, I mean, again, where else could you do something like this? And the fact that the cruise staff didn't stop you guys?
Yeah.
Or maybe they were too damn scared.
We kind of wondered, because they have event staff, you know, situated at each of the stages. And for the most part, they just kind of, you know, they're positioned behind the barricade. And for the most part, they're just sort of there kind of, you know, watching. One thing I did notice on the pool deck, anytime there were crowd surfers, instead of, normally what would happen is once you reach the barricade, you know, you're guided over by security and they set you down and you run back out into the crowd and you do it again. One thing that they were doing that I hadn't seen before on this was once you reach the barricade, they were basically pushing you back and saying, no, you know, you're not to come over. So that was a little bit different. But apart from that, yeah, they really, really didn't get involved. You know, they were pretty cool, just kind of standing by, you know, making sure nothing got out of hand. And for the most part, yeah, nothing did. So yeah, we were surprised. There was one rather large dude that was event security at the Spectrum Lounge. But I mean, there was probably about 12 to 14 of us in the chairs just rolling around. Essentially, you know, it's like we turned it into bumper cars basically to thrash. So, but yeah, they let us do it. So
I wonder what's next.
Wall of Death in the airport in Hamburg, security was helping film that. So they were really cool about it too.
It's getting back to the bands, and just looking at this list, Grave and Monstrosity and Napalm Death. So what bands were the ones where you just left the cruise thinking, wow, I mean, beyond amazing? That had to have been like two or three bands that exceeded expectations more than just, wow, they were really good.
Yeah. I mean, for me, definitely Enslaved, both their sets. Like I said, every time I've seen them, they just absolutely blown me away. I know on their second set, which was the one on the pool deck, they said that they were doing a cover tune, and I didn't get it right away. They said, oh yeah, you know, this is by Robert, Jimmy, John, and John. And I kind of heard the names, and I was like, oh, what band are they talking about? And then once they launched into it, I was like, oh, duh, they did Immigrant Song, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, Enslaved was awesome. Behemoth, which I really had only seen once before, and they were sort of one of the bands that kind of you would be considered a headliner. They played for more than an hour. They got an hour and 15 minutes for each of their sets. The only time I'd seen them before was on that free Ozfest when they headlined the second stage. And so obviously just seeing them do a full set was amazing to me. But what I kept hearing repeatedly from people that had even seen them 7-10 times or more was that their performances on Barge to Hell were some of the best that they've ever seen.
Wow.
So it sounded like Behemoth really, you know, really brought it. And so, yeah, they were definitely a top one. I think I would say for me, Rotting Christ was definitely up there.
Cool.
Of course, I mean, At the Gates, I mean, you know, what can you say about them?
So were there bands that you left the cruise think that you became a fan of because of their performance?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, November's Doom, I was vaguely aware of beforehand. They definitely won me over watching them. I had made a list, you know, small list of bands. It's like, okay, I need to track down some releases here. November's Doom was one of them. Artillery, I became an instant fan of them. Souls to Fear, their stuff's harder to find. But yeah, those were some of the bands that I definitely walked away thinking, you know, glad I had the chance to, you know, finally, you know, see them, check them out. Something I heard, Artillery may be doing a U.S. tour later. So
oh, that'd be awesome.
You might want to keep an eye out for that. So.
That would be killer. I play Artillery here on B&M, of course, you know, the old stuff, and I'd like to see those guys live. That would be awesome if there were American tours in the works. That'd be killer. So before I let you go, do you have any suggestions, tips, anything you'd like to pass along to people who are considering taking a ride on the barge to hell in the future, or even for that matter 70,000 tons of metal, since they're both pretty much the same kind of thing. Do you have tips, suggestions, anything you want to pass on?
Yeah, one of the tips that comes to mind, and this was something I only encountered on Barge to Hell, and not personally, but I had heard, because in terms of part of the process when you get to the pier, you know, as I said, once you're getting out of the cabs, you're getting off the bus, you know, however you arrive there, there's a bunch of staff that's right there, curbside, that, you know, if you want, you can leave your luggage with them. They'll take care of it. They'll put it on the boat for you. They'll bring it to your room. You don't have to worry about it. I've not done this the 3 years that I've gone because, I mean, I pack pretty light, and it's manageable for me to just, you know, keep everything with me and just bring it to the room myself. But something I heard that had happened this time around is some people had money stolen out of their luggage, and they figured the only time it could have happened would have been when, you know, when they dropped it off and left it to be, you know, put on the ship. So someone I knew said they had $300 stolen, and I heard someone even had as much as $600 go missing. So one recommendation I would have is definitely, you know, just keep everything with you and you know, keep an eye on it and just bring it to the room yourself. And if you are going to leave, you know, any sort of luggage to be brought on, you know, to be put on the ship by staff or anything like that, just make sure there's no valuables in it. Make sure that's all, you know, on you or in a bag that you're carrying, just to, you know, so it doesn't go missing. I'm trying to think of, I mean, that was a major tip I wanted to get out there, just because it was something I had heard that was going on. So hopefully that can be avoided in the future. Something else, I guess, just something to be aware of. I mentioned that CPass card. That's what you use for any port purchases on board. And I've heard of some bills at the end of the cruise being as high as $700, $900 on booze alone. So just, it's convenient, and, you know, it's nice and easy, but just be mindful of, you know, how much you're spending, you know, when you're using that, and, you know, when you're drinking and things like that, because that can get out of hand pretty quick. I mean, I have that problem just with merch alone at, you know, say European festivals, but yeah, people that like to drink, you can easily get carried away with that. Yeah, beyond that, I don't have too much right now that I can think of, but definitely wanted to highlight that the luggage situation, so people are aware of that.
And perhaps make your plans early, because, you know, space is limited. It's not like Vulcan where you can take a bazillion people.
Right.
There's only so much space on a cruise ship.
Yep. And in terms of as far as registering and even getting a cabin, personally, I haven't done that because typically what it is to get the cheapest price is four people to a cabin. And a friend of mine was sort of the one in charge of booking the cabin. And so I was just sort of, you know, kind of one of the roommates or one of the passengers. And so once that was done, then, you know, directions or, you know, instructions are emailed to you. It's like, okay, we need your payment by this time. And you know, I just kind of followed what it was. So in terms of initiating that, I'm not fully clear on that process just because I haven't gone through it myself. But yeah, you want to book early. And because as I said, in terms of there's about 2,000 spots available. And so I figure, you know, I figure that would go pretty quick. Now, I don't know since there was kind of less people on the Barge of Hell, it might have had to do with the fact that, you know, it's more of a niche cruise. It caters more to a certain sort of, you know, genre, more of a focus. One thing I also heard is that in terms of the 44 countries represented, the U.S. had the highest representation. And I heard one of the reasons for that might have been December is a tough time of year for people in Europe to get time off work. So in terms of doing the next Barge to Hell, from what I've heard, the next one's probably not going to be until 2014, and they're looking at maybe moving it up and doing it the first week in November, trying a different time of year and seeing if that you know has any, you know, makes a difference.
Yeah,
so
I suppose it could. BargeToHell.com is the website. And so I guess after all is said and done with all this Barge to Hell, you give the horns up for sure, right?
Oh, definitely, yep.
And you, I guess you're making plans for 70,000 tons, and you'll do the Barge to Hell again, I suppose, correct?
Yeah, the upcoming 70,000 tons I actually won't be doing just because
Okay.
It was kind of do that or do Barge, and I chose to do Barge. But, yeah, I'll, you know, keep my eye out and see what comes along next. And just one last thing to add before I go. There was sort of a running theme on Barge to Hell. It's kind of a funny story. which I would call the theme the FU Phil theme. A friend of mine, my friend Dan, who was the one that kind of, you know, was booking the room and everything, he has a friend, Phil, back from in Pittsburgh, where he's from, and he wanted to go and couldn't make it and didn't come. And he's just someone that, you know, he just constantly, you know, busts his balls and plays pranks on him. And so he came up with this idea to make a sign that says FU Phil. And his goal was to get as many people as possible to take a photo holding the sign, you know, flipping off the camera. And then he was going to post all those photos on Facebook and tag Phil in each one of them. The grand total came to 38, but it wasn't just fans. It was like, I mean, you know, got a whole bunch of fans, got complete strangers, even got bands. And Slade signed the sign and did a photo with it. And one of the things when you're registering for the cruise and once you're boarding the ship, one of the things they do with everybody is they sort of take your photo. And then later on the ship, if you want, you can purchase it. And when they took our photo, they let us hold up the sign, the FU Phil sign. So it even made it into that. And that became, it literally spread like wildfire. Just everybody's like, oh, you know, the FU Phil. Like, you know, hey, Phil, I haven't even met him. Phil sucks. So that was the theme. It was the FU Phil theme. So.
Well, it's
a genius idea.
The barge to hell is good for all sorts of things, including ripping on your friends. So.
Yep.
BargeToHell.com is the website. And Matt, thank you very much for calling in for the Barge to Hell report. And I guess I'll have to have you on soon, maybe for Vakken again or some other show or festival that you attend. But thanks a lot, man, and take care.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate the opportunity.